Senate President or Senator Castillo here. Senator Ferrioli, he's out of the building. But we can go to House Bill 3090. So I'm opening a work session on House Bill 3090, and I would like, I'm inviting, didn't have a sign-up sheet, but isn't it the energy people? Okay, would Chris Heinbaum, would you come up from the... Oh, okay. I thought it was a government agency.
No, no.
But I would love to hear your testimony.
All right.
Representative Crummell, will you come up too? I want you first to present your idea. Jerry Crummell first. I'm kind of expected. Okay. It was there, Bill. Okay. Well, I thought it was Representative Layman. Okay. You want to read about the bill?
Yes. Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3090 requires the Department of Transportation to determine what portion of a project's cost can be recovered through tolls for any modernization project on which tolling can reasonably be applied. It requires the toll potential to be considered among other factors in determining which projects should be included in the state transportation improvement program.
Okay, Representative Crummell.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I want to ask you a question first.
Oh, please.
Is this from you?
Yes.
Okay, are these different colors?
Yeah.
Okay, what color is A, or which one of these is A and which is B?
let's see. Yeah, take that up here. I apologize.
That's okay. Yes. Okay, there we go.
Oh, I see. Okay. And then if I can...
The four colors. Four?
Mm-hmm.
Couple different.
Yes, this is a multicolored... this is a multimedia presentation.
Okay, go
ahead. Madam Chair, for the record, my name is Jerry Crummell, State Representative, House District 27. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Originally, this was written as House Bill 2692 and was heard in the House Transportation Committee and sent to Ways and Means because of a potential fiscal impact. What we're trying to do with House Bill 3090 would be to attach the A4 amendments, which would add a third section to House Bill 3090. And basically what it would be to add the language from House Bill 2692 into House Bill 3090. This would be so that we can start a feasibility study and potential planning, I guess, for a highway on the east side of the state. As you are aware, Interstate 82 comes out of Washington, comes across the Columbia River near the McNary Dam and lands in Umatilla. And then there is a section on the Oregon side that is approximately 14 miles that goes from the point at the Columbia River and intersects with Interstate 84. My idea is that, as the map demonstrates, is that we would take that Interstate 82 or whatever name it would have and go ahead and take it south. There's a couple of different possible routes that we've identified in my office, and then, of course, it would be up to ODOT to sort of go out and see what would be the best route and that sort of thing. But the idea is that it would eventually go to the California border. If in the 97 corridor, if it went to Klamath Falls, if it followed 97 down through Klamath Falls and landed at the California border, my hope would be that California would pick it up from the border there and take it along the 97 corridor, and it would intersect with I-5 at Weed, California. If that were to occur, what we would find is, my idea is to, number one, is that when you put a transportation corridor in place, it is a substantial corridor, you will affect economic development, as we have seen in the Willamette Valley with I-5 and then with Interstate 84. The other thing is that if we can, if we have an adequate interior transportation corridor, I think that we will take some of the pressures off of the Willamette Valley. and a lot of folks have complained about growth in the Willamette Valley and what it has done. We have very low unemployment, as you know, basically in the valley, which is a good thing. But we also have a lot of traffic, and we have a lot of just this big growth spurt that has occurred, which also has an impact on the airshed, as well as the use of the land. So my feeling is that by creating this corridor interiorly, and we are able to affect development in the interior part of the state, economic development will follow. Maybe we can get some of the unemployment rates that are in the 18s and 19s on the east side of the state down to more like what it is in the Willamette Valley over time. And then the other thing is that if we can take the pressure off of the Willamette Valley, because how many people that are going north but actually are headed to the interior of Washington will not use 97 now because it's a smaller highway. And if it was turned into a freeway, right now I believe it's 389 miles, if I have my facts correct, approximately 31 miles are four lane highway, the rest of it is two lane. So this idea has been put in, and as you see from an article that was out of the East Oregonian, they were supportive of the idea. There's been numerous other articles that have been written about this, and I have had the mayor of Redmond has been into my office and talked to me about it, and he's very much in favor of it. And the mayor of Umatilla testified before the House Transportation Committee on 2692 that they were very much in favor of it. I would point out that the port of Umatilla, the port of entry, has approximately 480,000 trucks a day, a year go through that port of entry. How many of them actually, of those trucks actually go south and then head down the 97 corridor, I don't know, but I do know that the truck counts are fairly high. So with that, I'll conclude. I'll be happy to ask for any questions.
I do have some. I was born in LeGrand and raised in Pendleton. Have you ever lived east of the mountains?
I grew up in Walla Walla.
Okay. So my question is, because I was wondering what got you interested, you know, it bugs me that this is considered Oregon and two-thirds of it, so that you know. Anyway,
not going to bug me too, you know, about Oregon being green.
Sagebrush and rattlesnakes over there. But my question is this. I think that Hermiston, that's where Walmart, you know, they did their big place there. And one reason is they come and they break up the triple because California and Washington don't allow triple, so they have these places. And it's to take the pressure off of the valley. My question is, how much comes from Spokane, or what would this be? Would they go from Seattle over to go down this route to get to California? What would be the benefit? Because you know how much population is over there.
Well, thank you for the question, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm. I think that what we find is that you have Spokane, which is a major collecting point, has an international airport, has an Air Force base, and is the has approximately 400,000 people that live in Spokane province. I think what you will find is that people that are trying to get from California to the interior of Washington will use this corridor. People that are already in Seattle may still and heading south, or in California heading north, and they're wanting to get through Seattle to that area, they probably would continue on the I-5 corridor. But I think that you have, when you look at the interior of Washington and Oregon is, of course, not very populated, but when you look at the interior of Washington, you have the Tri-Cities, which has approximately 250,000 people. You have Walla Walla, which has only about 25,000 people. You have Yakima, which has 50,000 people, but that entire valley there has probably about 125,000 people. And then you have, you go across the Hanford Reservation, which there's not a lot of people there, but then as you get along the Interstate 90 corridor, which is where Interstate 82 does connect at Ellensburg, then you have a little greater population base than when you get to Spokane, of course.
Okay, you need to recess this hearing on this bill for just a minute. And open a work session on House Bill 38. Do you have a script?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 3085. Oh, it's undebatable. Oh, we have to call the roll. Okay, by unanimous. Okay, is there any objection? Okay, now it's back in our. Does it take four votes to do the second one?
No, that's a.
We have to resolve some conflict amendments that Legislative Council has proposed. They are the dash four.
The conflict amendments deal with technical language changes. There's Senate Bill 20 that deals with changing infractions for violations and how fines are calculated. And because of that, there was a portion of the bill in the safety, in the amended part that dealt with the safety corridors that had these language changes. And thus we have the conflict amendments. And we do have Joe Robinson here if you want any clarity.
You want any clarity?
It doesn't change the intent of the bill.
She just voted, just did the. Okay, then you want to make a motion?
Madam Chair,
yeah.
I move we adopt House Bill 3085.
Well, first thing is
A14.
Okay, without objection? Okay, okay.
This is to resolve conflict between this bill and Senate Bill 20.
Okay.
And I move that we adopt the amendment and adopt the amendment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any objection? Okay.
And, Madam Chair, I move to send Senate Bill 3085 amended to the floor with due pass recommendation.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Okay. The clerk will call the roll.
Senator George?
Aye.
Senator Yee?
Aye.
Right. Aye. The Senate House Bill 3085 it has received majority vote, goes to the floor as amended. And Senator Yee, would you like to carry this bill?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And that closes the work session on House Bill 3085. Now we will reopen a work session on House Bill 3089. And I just wanted to ask you another question. What about Canada? This ought to help, it should help the trucks that wouldn't have to go as far over to I-5 and come down, wouldn't it?
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. I believe that any part of, of the interior of Washington or the interior of British Columbia and Alberta could certainly use this. While there are other routes that can be used, they're not as wide as utilizing a four lane type of freeway. I think what could also be pointed out is that probably people from southern Idaho that normally would be either using 84 and then going south on 97, or that come across Highway 20, is that 20? And then intersecting with I-5, this would give them an additional choice if they're going south or north, either to the interior of California or the interior of Washington.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Representative, thank you for bringing this, because I tell you, this is an issue. If you take a map of the whole West Coast and you look at this is absolutely so believable. In fact, when I was looking at it here a few weeks ago and considering this whole idea and what potential of this was, I was thinking back to my mom when she said a long time ago, who decided to put 5 down the west side? Because she anticipated that it would do exactly what it did, and that it caused tremendous growth along that corridor. And one of the things I think is interesting, if you look to the Hermiston, to the Tri-Cities area, and you look what's happening up in Spokane, you look what's happening in Reno as far as industry, not just gambling, you look what's happening in Las Vegas and some of these other areas, and you recognize that you, in fact, can have growth in these areas if you provide a couple of things, and one of the major ones is transportation. And when you look at the idea that this would come, particularly the 395 section, and that would continue right on down to the east side of the Sierra Nevadas and right on down into Southern California, the thing about that, when you start considering modifying Highway 5 to deal with the congestion that's occurring now in downtown Portland, the costs are enormous to change that highway. And when you look out on this side, you see most of your building components are already right there. It's called rock, and that's already there. It's a good kind of a building environment. Environmentally, worried about some lizards or something. It's really minor compared to coming up the west side. The alternative, of course, is that someday, if we don't do something like this, we're going to be looking at right out here, taking off south to the west of Cottage Grove on Highway 5, coming straight down the west side of the Willamette Valley, crossing over and coming in at Longview, because if you all get a map and look at that, that's exactly the way, in fact, you can see it right here. If you took it like this, it's actually much straighter. Because that might even be cheaper. But the impact upon the Willamette Valley, as far as agriculture, as far as, you know, that would finalize the destruction of the Willamette Valley. But if you move out here, they can utilize the growth. There's a big area of the state, as you pointed out, that's out here. And I think if we don't look to the future, you know, with issues like this, we're going to regret this very, very much, because we're filling this thing up fast. Part of that is to get the truck traffic out of this site. The other thing is that you do, because we are, the whole West Coast has become like a gigantic economy, and that north-south run on the West Coast is going to be critical to what's going to happen in the future. And so I can just imagine, particularly with Washington State, they stepped up to the plate with $4.5 billion worth of construction. Representative, you know, you go out there and what do you find? Brand new freeways out there. You can come up into this region. You can jump on two freeways to take you up past the Yakima Valley and into that region. Or you can go further north, as we're talking about, into Canada. This, you know, our neighbors to the north, our neighbors to the south have already provided the bulk of this. And I believe, I mean, I have not talked to anyone in California, but I would just bet you California would have a tremendous interest in this. And my question then, after all of that commentary, is, have we had any communication from California and possibly Nevada relative to that construction?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator George. We did have an early contact, very early in the session, with representatives from the Yreka weed area of California. At that particular point, and it was a very short conversation, let's add that in, but at that point they were very fairly cool to the idea. So I don't know exactly what the California legislature's answer would be if they were, you know, if they would be interested in doing something like that. But I can't imagine that they wouldn't. With regards to Nevada, in looking at the 395 side, we did not contact anybody in the Nevada legislature to see if they would have any kind of an interest in studying, for example, taking it from the Oregon-Nevada border into directly into Reno, or to have it intersect at some point with Interstate 80.
Also,
yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Cuomo, we appreciate your vision and foresight, but can you tell us, are you proposing two routes or just one?
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, no. What I'm proposing is there's two possibilities for routes, or actually two or three possibilities, as you see from the color-coded maps. What we're suggesting is that ODOT would want to take a look at either route, or take a look at both routes to see which would be the best route to use. My initial feeling is that coming, you see on the colored map in particular, you can see the route out of where it steps into Interstate 84, that it would follow and come down, I believe it's close to Mitchell, and then at that point it swings over sort of towards, not Warren Springs, what's the little town there? Madras, excuse me, would swing over towards Madras, and then at that point it would follow the 97 corridor south to the California border, which would take it through Redmond Bend, Lapine, Chemult, Klamath Falls area.
Another question.
Sure.
So your preference is the one that goes through in the middle, the one in the middle?
The 97 corridor, Chair, Senator Yee.
97 corridor. Is this in the middle?
Mm-hmm. May I come up and?
Yes. Yeah, but how you? Is it this one or?
This is
and the purple too.
Yes, 90. The there's two routes possible here coming out of Umatilla if you follow if you come over to 97. This is Highway 97 here, mm-hmm. and there's two routes. One it swings a little it swings west a little bit sooner, so you actually go through is that Mayville and Fossil and Antelope, you know, all these huge towns. and that would be one way, or the other way if it came south. And then at Hardman, I believe, then it would head, it would continue south, and it would come over mm-hmm. towards Pine and come through mm-hmm. Pineville, mm-hmm. and then over to Bend, and then south. Mm-hmm. So that's why the different colors here is because there's two possible routes there. And in the third possible route would be instead of taking the 97 corridor, would be to follow the 395 corridor, which takes you down through Burns and Lakeview.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. I have another question.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. So we're out of here, but Ken, we need to hear from that lady.
Okay. I just want to know, are you talking about paying for these roads by toll fees? Or is this going to be a joint venture?
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, thank you again for the question. I think that looking at it as a potential toll road mm-hmm. would be a plausible idea. I think one of the things that it would do is that it may give us a mechanism for being able to fund it and build it sooner as opposed to later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think the connection between 2692 and House Bill 3090 is important, is because I think that there's a possibility there. I know that the Oregon Environmental Council, I found out this morning, does have a little bit of heartburn about this, and I'll let them explain that aspect. But I think that if we can meld the two, and you know, one of the things that may come up, I would anticipate that, you know, if there's a fatal flaw in this, that ODOT would come back and tell us that. And maybe one of the, as far as the toll road is concerned, maybe one of the fatal flaws is that there's not going to be enough tolls to pay for. But until we look at it, we're not going to know that. And so I think that, but it does give us some flexibility as far as how the construction, if it was going to occur, could actually be funded.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say that I'm really familiar with all of this, and it is something to drive down, whether it's from Yakima, Ellensburg, or whether you come from Spokane. It's just super highway to get to Umatilla. And usually there's that 14 miles, and then you have to left or right. And I was at a transportation meeting and several months ago, and Washington State's transportation director said that 65% of the people west of the Rockies live within 10 miles of I-5. And if we want to get the pressure off, just like Senator George said, get the pressure off of our farming community and all of this in the valley, then if you build it, they'll come. And if we want to get this out here, then I agree. I'm really, it's a great book. Yes.
Madam Chair, and if you look at the well, I'm going to call it the Western Rim, which is going through Bend, and you take it up to Biggs, and you look at what the state of Washington is doing on the north side, where they take it on up to Toppenish area.
Right.
One of the things you notice that they've recognized, that's a major truck road, and they are now improving that highway, and we're so far behind the curve here. One of the things, too, Representative Crummell, that I'd like to ask you about, and that is, we talked about the idea of the triples being having to be dispersed because of some of the rules in the other states. And when you think about the opportunity, particularly where now we demonstrated the safety record of the truck train, that in fact is a safety vehicle, and particularly to look at even some of the configurations used on the East Coast, that California may buy in if, in fact, you could use an east side of the Sierra Nevada 395 route, where, in fact, you could maybe have a port out in the desert of Southern California and in central sections and maybe like that highway, what is that, 80 that... it comes out of through Reno. Is that
Interstate 80 goes from San Francisco through Reno and then
Reno.
Like,
see, they already have their distribution. A lot of distribution kind of operations are in that area now.
Mm-hmm.
This becomes very believable because then you could have very efficient movement of freight, you know, on a road that was in fact being paid for by tolls, and have where California is very reluctant to move to that kind of truck train on Highway 5. It is a major part of the transportation system of the state of California. But we're looking at interstate.
Okay, we need to hear from this other lady. Do you want to react?
If I may just make one quick comment, Madam Chair. I have been in contact with Senator Gordon Smith about this. His response was favorable. He's not necessarily ready to go ask for money yet for it, but it did receive a favorable response from the senator. And we're in contact with Representative Walden's office with regards to this as well. So I just wanted to let you know that I tried to make sure that the federal government is aware that this is something that at least I'm interested in looking at.
Thank you. Don't leave, because we may need a comment. Okay, Chris.
Thank you. You want to stay here?
Yes, please. What happened, Chris?
Oh, Chairman, members of the committee, I had a little bicycle accident.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Thank you for the opportunity to submit. I'll be really quick. My testimony from yesterday, basically, I had heartburn because the Dash 3 amendments, which this has to do with, gutted the part of the bill that we had sponsored by Representative Lehman. The Dash 4 amendments don't gut that part of the bill, but simply add on the discussion of a corridor on the east side. I won't go through, you can read on your own, our reasons for being supportive of looking at tolling within the realm of modernization projects that we'd be looking at in the state. But I would like to say a couple of things about Representative Hummel's proposal. We definitely understand that there's a lot of economic development needs in Eastern Oregon, and I really don't have a problem with looking at a highway as one of the ways to meet those needs, but believe that that should be looked at probably within the realm not just of the Department of Transportation, but also the Department of Economic Development, so that it's looked at within the context of the various things that we could use to force or help economic development, because indeed this may not be the most cost-effective of measures to meet those needs. So that's one of our issues with the language as it's stated in the Dash 4 amendments. Another issue is obviously, given that we're an environmental organization, there are a lot of environmental impacts associated with widening highways and building new highways, and so we would want such things to be very carefully looked at. Finally, I did have one other point here. I think that the way that the language is written in the Dash 4 amendments, it seems there's a fairly large fiscal impact at $100,000 at a minimum, and if there were a fatal flaw identified earlier in the study, that ODOT would not have to come back to the next legislative session with an entire plan for construction. It seems to me that should be very clear in that language, so that we didn't waste money moving forward with a plan of construction for something that may indeed have a big fatal flaw. So that's our problem with the language as it is, and maybe there would be a way to work that out. So I'd be happy to take any questions.
I only thing about all of your concerns is we're talking about 2003 to start it. You have a lot of time to get your concerns addressed, don't you think?
Madam Chair, it's simply that the way it's written, ODOT has to come back with something fairly large to show, and maybe Representative Hummel could speak to that.
Yes.
I'll wait for recognition from
you. Sure, sure.
I think that the intent here is really to start looking at this, and I think part of the process that ODOT will go through in terms of identifying a corridor is going to be to look at the feasibility, and as part of that, you do a fatal flaw analysis. If there was a fatal flaw in the study, I think they would come back and say, look, we're not going to go any further. The other thing is that before any kind of construction that can go on, federal law requires that environmental impact statements are issued with regards to the corridor and that sort of thing. So I think that those are a couple of things that ODOT would be looking at to make sure that the corridor is really going to meet all of the federal standards.
Okay, thanks. Are you guys quick questions? The Vice Chair wants to know if ODOT would like to testify. Yeah, sure, come on up.
Madam Chair, I just want to know if there's a fiscal impact on the feasibility study that the department can absorb or not absorb.
Chair Shannon, members of the committee, Doug Tindall, Maintenance Engineer, Oregon Department of Transportation. The estimate to do the feasibility study was, I think, as Chris pointed out, $100,000, and assuming this is the same bill we saw around the House side. Senator, that my observations listening to the discussion that would be these. First, I very much appreciate the comments concerning cost of construction in the Willamette Valley, Senator George brought up. It is expensive and continues to be expensive, and that's why a forward-thinking bill like this to start looking at other options is appreciated by ODOT. To the bill itself, As I look at it, I have an issue maybe with the wording of it has to go through Klamath Falls, and it was a little unclear to me what we were going to do when we got to Lakeview on the 395 route, but I'm sure we can work that out. I guess we can move Klamath Falls or annex Lakeview or something. we might want to do that. The other thing for the committee, it's surprising how many environmental issues you actually run into on the east side of the mountains. If you take the 395 corridor, for instance, that runs extensively along Lake Ebert, which has some environmental concerns. So, not to overplay it, not to suggest that they are the same magnitude as in the valley, just to note that there are some environmental concerns on the east side as well as on the west side. That's the only comments I could come up with.
Okay. Thank you. Do you have questions?
What is the wording
is this the wording that you suggest on line 5 for the period after border?
Chair Shannon, I defer to Representative Crummell to see how strongly he felt about going through Klamath Falls is the wording in the bill. I just heard some of the discussion. It sounded like we were looking at an alternate that didn't go through Klamath Falls, and I just wanted to.
Madam Chair, I think that's accurate. I think that that it would behoove ODOT to look at either one of the two corridors to see which is going to be the most feasible. 97, you know, personally, 97 seems to be the one that has the most traffic at this time. But
if you make that change, you probably should change it to the California border to be either to the California or Nevada borders. I believe Nevada is directly south.
Doesn't 395 actually enter California rather than Nevada?
It does. Yes, you're correct.
You don't need Nevada to either.
It seems to me that the intention of the bill, and again, I'll defer to Representative Crummell on this. It seems to me that the intention of the bill is to get a north-south route in eastern Oregon, and if we're going to look at options, maybe we shouldn't preclude one that's a little bit farther east as a potential. That's kind of up to you. I'm just saying if the intent is to get a north-south route, why would you limit yourself to being far enough west to hit the California border? You may want to be over in Adel or...
I don't have a problem with that.
From Umatilla on line 4, from Umatilla to the California or Nevada border. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, then we'll go into work session.
And Chair Cannon, the one, the estimate of the feasibility study was, it was $100,000. This bill got referred to Ways and Means when it was on the House side.
Didn't we move the date so it would be in a different biennium?
Yes, Madam Chair, we did. It says the department shall make a report to it does say the 71st legislature that includes the long-range plan for construction, which may not begin until after July 1, 2003. We may want to change 71st to 72nd.
Okay.
Does that
moves the fiscal out of next biennium?
Yeah, doesn't have to go to Ways.
I guess what I'd say is it probably moves half the fiscal out of next biennium.
Well, that's then it meets the requirement. Anything under 50,000 doesn't have to go down there. At least we can appeal. And then would you change 2003 to 2005?
The 2003 legislature will be the 71st
session.
Sorry, excuse me, 72nd session.
it can't begin after. Okay, we're all right. I think we're all right. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
Okay.
And Madam Chair, excuse me, thank you. As part of that amendment, then we would delete the language that says going through Klamath Falls, I believe, is what
yes.
Mr. Tindall.
It's a period after border.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes,
ma'am. Okay. George, do you want to make some amendments?
Yes, Madam Chair, on the A4 amendments to the Hospital 3090, I would move that we add after California or Nevada, and we'll put a period after border and remove going through Klamath Falls. And then, if I understand this, it would be at the 72nd Legislative Assembly on line 6.
Okay.
And from there, we're okay.
Any discussion? The Senator George has moved on line 4 to add after California or Nevada. On line 5, put a period after border and delete going through Klamath Falls. And on line 6, change it to the 72nd Legislative Assembly. Is there any objection or discussion?
I just want to know, why don't we send it to Ways and Means and let this come out of Ways and Means so we can get the report 2 years earlier?
Because it might cause problems, spending $100,000 at this late date.
From the guest tax money?
Madam Chair, if I could do what you're talking about, this is going to need to be coordinated with two other states, and I think you're talking about a long-term process. And so
this whole thing is long-term.
Does it need to coordinate with the other two states?
Absolutely.
Yes.
California will be a major player.
Well, you need to connect with their routes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Otherwise, I thought we should have the CISA program study earlier. Okay.
Okay. Without objection, the amendment is passed.
Madam Chair, I would move House Bill 3090 as amended with a dash forward as amended to the floor for the due pass.
Well, I think we first have to adopt that A4 as amended.
Oh, okay. I thought that's what you did.
No, we amended it.
Oh, okay.
So you want to adopt A4. Okay. Is there any discussion? Without objection. Okay, now we can.
Now, Madam Chair, I would move House Bill 3090 as amended to the floor for the due pass.
Any discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Senator George.
Aye.
Senator Yee.
Aye.
Senator Shannon.
Aye. It passed. Senator George, would you carry this bill?
I'd love to carry
this. Aye. So, no further business, we're adjourned to go to session.
Thank you, ma'am.
Uh-huh. Thanks.